Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends.
This is The Show.
Come inside, the show's about to start.
Now, Kevin Wheeler, Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Great to be with you on a Friday on the show. Amy, Chris, and Kevin hanging out with you here. You can find out all about us, I guess. You can go to KMOX.com, look up the show there. You'll find all kinds of really cool background information about the three of us. You can go to Twitter, at the show KMOX, to follow along with things that we're sending out throughout the course of the day. Plus, all of our individual Twitter accounts are linked there. You can text the show, 314-436-7900. We are going to use them a lot. I want to be clear about that. Like, we're going to use texts a lot. We haven't in the first few days, mostly because we're dumb. But that's a big plan, a big part of the plan moving forward is that. And then our voicemail line, which we'll talk to you about a little bit later on. But 314-436-7900. Anything that we're talking about, feel free to hit us up as we go through the day. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
I felt like I was filibustering for a second. I didn't want to. I should stop and say hi to you guys.
Why are you filibustering?
Well, I mean, just to get through all the introductory stuff that you have to do.
Oh.
Yeah, not intentionally.
Nice. Can I just remind everyone, too, about the beautiful thing that is 98.7 FM?
That's a good point.
I mean, all the way out to Wildwood, Franklin County, the 40 corridor, 270. It is crystal clear. It's a beautiful thing. So if you haven't checked out 98.7 FM, I recommend it.
How about that Odyssey app? Which is free and beautiful, and you can hit the you can be listening, and did Kevin just say what I thought he said? And you can rewind 15 seconds.
You can do that on KMOX.com as well.
awesome.
Yeah. So many ways to hear it the way you need to hear it, the way you want to hear it as you go through the day. Obviously, we got a lot to do. A very short show. Cardinals baseball coming your way a little bit later on. 12:25 for the pregame show. 1:20 first pitch in Chicago. Miles Michaelis is starting for the Cardinals. And I believe it's Marcus Stroman getting the start for the Cubs. We'll check in later on with Klaibs in Chicago to talk a bit about that. We got to start, though, with what felt like, God, I don't know if you guys, you know, I normally I'm reading like baseball stats and all this stuff. Last night I found myself reading an indictment.
Yeah.
I didn't read 66 pages of the indictment, but I'm going to tell you what I did is I skipped up to the part where we started having the recorded conversations and the transcripts of recorded conversations. And if you missed it yesterday, we did tease it yesterday, but the story has advanced quite a bit in the last 20 hours or so. But three members of the Board of Aldermen have now been indicted on essentially bribery charges. It's mm-hmm. there's more things tagged on to it, but it's the simple version of it. It's bribery. So it's Aldermanic President Lewis Reed. It's Jeffrey Boyd. It's John Collins Muhammad. And again, to be clear, I want to issue this blanket statement at the beginning. Everybody is innocent until proven guilty. We are not assuming guilt in any way, shape, or form. This has to play out in a court of law.
They've been indicted, and they are, according to what they said yesterday, still showing up to work.
And
right?
They pled not guilty. And I want to throw that out at the beginning because reading the transcripts, it sounds really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are just direct conversations about exchanges of money for political favors.
Yeah, I mean, and President Lewis Reed, Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, I mean, these are two of the board's longest serving members. They've served more than 15 years. They're also two of the more powerful members of the board. So this is no small thing.
Did it feel like when you guys read it, whatever you read of it? I mean, I didn't read the whole thing. I read, you know, the juicy parts, the right. transcripts. I felt like I was reading a script from like a Sopranos episode. I felt like it was The Wire. Like, it felt like every TV show that covers some kind of corruption or bribery or whatever. Because I'm like, you're saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, what? I mean, I don't think you should be doing those things. But if you're doing those things, maybe don't say it out loud.
You know, you rightfully said that this has not yet been proven in any sort of court
Correct.
Of law. And you're right about that. But this does not look good because they have the receipts. They've got all of this on tape. There's transcripts of it, and it does not look good. And you know, you mentioned The Wire. I feel like I've done myself a disservice because I never went through with the entire show. I watched the first season, but last night on Twitter, the amount of people who compared what this is to the show The Wire makes me think I need to watch
The Wire.
I mean,
The Wire is about wiretaps. I mean, it's about getting on people's phones.
I got through a season. Yeah. There was no reason I didn't finish it other than I just didn't do it. And I intend to now. But this is, and I said this yesterday, and I can't stress this enough. This is so disappointing to me. If this all turns out to be true and it doesn't look good, it disappoints me from the perspective of a person who cares a lot about this city, mm-hmm. the image of the city, and the fact that there are so many people who live outside of this area and also live in the area but on the outskirts of the area who have a low opinion mm-hmm. of St. Louis City. This kind of stuff does not help. And not only does it not help, but it hurts in a big way. This is so frustrating to me because I feel like as a city, in order for us to progress, in particular in the minds of people, locally, nationally, regionally, whatever, we almost have to be perfect. We almost have to be perfect as a city. No major missteps. This makes us look even worse.
You brought up the receipts, and they are important to point out. I mean, this was a 2.5-year investigation from the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office. It had surveillance and hundreds of recorded phone calls and meetings and thousands of texts and emails. There are receipts, and the feds don't mess around when they move forward with these investigations. And like you said, Ranj, it does. I think we're already pretty cynical in the St. Louis area. So to see this, it's both shocking and not surprising. It also does a disservice to the aldermen and local leaders who are just trying to do a good job.
Yeah, trying to make things better.
And it taints them because people use a broad brushstroke and say, oh, all these guys are doing this.
I had two major takeaways from this when I saw the story, aside from whether or not these three men are going to be proven guilty in court. Aside from all of that, first thing is, this is not a St. Louis thing. I know we're going to be upset about it because we live in St. Louis, and we should be upset about it, because the only thing that changes that behavior is if the people who live in that spot won't accept it anymore and you vote for other people, or if the people that investigate, police, FBI, whoever, that they put people in jail when they do the wrong thing. So it's but I do want to make the point, like, people, this shouldn't be a self-conscious thing, because this stuff is happening in Detroit and Baltimore and Chicago and L.A. and New York. This stuff happens all over, and it's terrible. It doesn't mean it's okay. It just means don't do the, oh, St. Louis, it's a St. Louis thing. Of course it is. It's every big city has got stuff like this happening.
And I agree with you. You're right. There's no question you're right. But I feel like we have to be twice as good.
For perception purposes,
we have to be. And maybe that has to go on for like 10, 15, 20 years before we really change perceptions. But whatever it takes, I think as a metropolitan area, that's how we have to behave collectively, especially the people we've elected to run the city. And that's why this is so disappointing to me, is because, and maybe it's unfair, maybe it's unfair that people from the outside look at us a particular way, or people from even the county look at the city in a particular way. Maybe it's unfair that they do that, but they do. The reality is they do. And this is the kind of thing that is devastating to me, and is the kind of thing that's more difficult, you know, makes the perception more difficult to overcome. I just want us to be better.
Yeah.
And the reality is we have to be more than perfect in a lot of ways to turn that perception around.
All right. So I want to throw this at you guys live, because I threw this at you guys earlier. I feel like I might be crazy, or not crazy, but I might be stretching a little bit. So if I'm stretching a little bit, you guys smack me. And you can smack me on the text line too. 314-436-7900 if you want to chime in on this. So this type of action, this is clearly bad, okay?
You're talking about bribery.
Bribery is bad. It should be against the law. I am not making a case that this is not a problem, or these kinds of things are not a problem. But practically speaking, not idealistically, not if we can trust everybody at their word, but practically speaking, what's the difference between giving people cash as a bribe and making big campaign donations to make sure that you get favorable treatment when it's time for a bill to become law?
Like lobbyists.
Why is it okay to do this at the $10,000, $50,000, $1 million level? Why is this okay to do at the nationwide level, where it's very clear?
Yeah.
Lobbyists spend the money that they do because it works.
Billions.
They do it because it works. And everybody says, there's no quid pro quo. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There may not be a written contract. They may not be dumb enough to get caught on tape saying, give me $25,000 for my campaign and I will vote for you. Nobody's doing that, or at least they're not doing it and getting caught. But how is it different? And this is, to me, an indictment of all of our setup, as opposed to a defense of any one thing. This is not a defense. This is, we've got it all screwed up, because this is happening in some way, shape, or form, nationwide, all the time.
There is an estimated $3 billion that changes hands in lobbying during the course of a year with Congress people. You can't tell me that it's just billions changing hands with no quid pro quo.
We're
like,
just
none
like-minded
of that happening.
Individuals.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could. Yeah. I mean, I can see how it's a thin line when you phrase it that way, because it's like, well, the difference between lobbying and bribery is lobbying is legal.
Yes.
But here's the thing. With bribery, you are taking that money, handing it to a politician to guarantee an action. While with lobbying, you're taking money, making contributions to a campaign with the hope of influencing future decisions.
I'm just saying.
I love
semantics.
And again, maybe this is just because I'm super cynical.
You are, and
but
it is.
I don't believe any of them when they say there's no quid pro quo. Of course there is. They wouldn't be giving you the money year after year if it wasn't working for them.
It's about transparency. That's why there's dark money. There's campaign contributions have to be a certain campaign.
So if they just came out and said, hey, I'm going to give this guy money so I get my tax abatement. Yeah, that makes it okay?
You can't say it.
But the fact that it's out front makes it okay for lobbying. It's just an odd thing to me.
I don't know.
Maybe we should just not be giving people money to get favorable treatment. Maybe we should just do that no matter what we call it.
I've been sitting here the last couple of minutes and I've changed my mind. This is all fine. This is fine.
That's because producer Dave just handed you a wad of cash.
There you go. 314-436-7900.
He's a lobbyist.
This is the show on KMOX.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Back in on the show, it is a Friday. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. We got Cardinals baseball later on. Cardinals, let's see, first pitch now is about 3 hours away. Pregame is about 2 hours away. So 12:25 for pregame show, 1:20 for the first pitch. Cardinals and Cubs. Cardinals made a bunch of moves. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it now, but they just announced a bunch of roster moves. Matthew Liberatore, Cody Whitley going to Memphis. They're calling up Zach Thompson to make his major league debut. Johan Oviedo has been recalled as well. It sounds like those guys will be the starters for the doubleheader tomorrow, although I don't think that's been made official just yet. Tyler O'Neill's going on a rehab assignment. Dylan Carlson going on a rehab assignment. So a couple guys closer to coming back and a couple of young guys coming up to help out with four games over the next 3 days. So we'll tell you more about that later. We'll catch up with Claves around noon. And then obviously we'll have more on that on the pregame show coming your way in just a little bit.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, it's just a random question. I just saw Jean Evans. She's a friend of KMOX, has been on the program. The former executive director of Missouri GOP answered a question on Twitter. Are you the most famous person from your high school? And then she listed several people from her high school, like Aaron Cook Jr., the basketball player, Jacob Turner, the pitcher. But that's kind of an interesting question. Are you, Kevin Wheeler or Chris Ranji, the most famous people from your high school?
I am definitely not.
So who's more famous?
So Kevin Green, Pro Football Hall of Famer, just passed away in the last couple of years. He went to Granite City High School. Dal Maxville, the former general manager of the Cardinals, went to Granite City High School. And I think there was a soap opera actor, too. I'm not as famous as that guy.
Now, Peter Mayer is from Granite City. Did he go to your high school?
I don't know. What, I don't know.
He was Major Garrett's.
Oh, like, and then there was I think he's an FBI, former FBI agent. He's an analyst. Is a Gus Van Sant. Is that right? Yeah, I think he went there too. Yeah. So no, I am not.
I just pulled up when you asked that right before we came back. I pulled up the my high school's Wikipedia page because they have a whole list of notable alumni. I'm not on the list.
Oh, so, man.
We gotta do that. The show. We got to get fans of the show to get Kevin Wheeler on that list.
Very clearly, I am not the most famous one there. I mean, we have John McHale, the former baseball general manager, Thomas Brennan, who was the chief justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. Let's see, a bunch of baseball, like Chris Sabo. People would know Chris Sabo, who are baseball fans, played for the Reds in the 90s, 80s and 90s. Chris Sabo, Frank Tanana, people would probably remember. You know, Stan Heath, Ronch, the college basketball coach.
Yeah.
He's an alum. So people like that. A bunch of guys that played in the NFL. So, no, I'm not even close. Not even close. We had a guy play for the U.S. national soccer team. All kinds of people that I'm not there. No.
So now it's Amy's turn to tell us that she's the most famous her high school.
I am the most famous from my high school. I was also the valedictorian.
Yeah. Wow, I heard you're also the best athlete.
And I was
and she finished last in her class, too.
I also finished last
finished
in my
first
class.
And last.
Yeah. That's a pretty impressive thing.
I know.
How'd you do that?
Well, I was homeschooled, and I was the only person in my class. However, if the nearest public school, the public school I would have
gone to. So you're
also
most likely to succeed.
That's exactly right.
Nice.
Yes. And the most likely to become president. All the superlatives.
Wow.
It was just pictures of me, most likely to go to prison, you know, all there. But Lafayette High School would have been like my public school.
Okay, that's where you, yeah.
So
yeah.
Ryan Howard and David Freese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there. Yeah.
You got a lot.
Yeah.
That's probably more than that, too. I mean, but yeah, those two right off the top of everybody's head.
No, you know the Clayton Kershaw's High School in Texas, which is also Matthew Stafford's High School in Texas, which is also John Hinckley Jr.'s high school.
Yes.
Which we will be talking about later.
His high school?
In his high school, yes.
Or him.
We'll talk about him.
Oh, okay.
But isn't that crazy? And the golfer, didn't that golfer go there? Who's the golfer that just won the Masters? Oh, come on, guys.
Kevin? Tiger Woods.
Bueller?
Nope. Okay.
Scheifele.
Okay, you guys are no help.
Or Scheffler.
I'll get back to it.
Or is it Brooks?
What?
Or is it the other guy everybody hates? Bryson.
I'll tell you what it is. It's not Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. No.
No.
He didn't play. You remember why? Got himself in a little trouble.
He did
Arabia
get it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It was Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
I knew it. Yeah, yeah. So you were close.
Yeah. I said, there's a Scheifele. No, that's a hockey player.
Scheifele is a hockey player.
And a Scheffler. I did say Scheffler, though, too,
did
didn't
you?
I?
All right. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Good boy, Ranch. High five.
So we figured it out.
So Elon Musk, he's pretty famous.
He's got to be the most famous from his high school, right?
I would think so.
I mean, he's the
also homeschooled
dude in the world, is he?
I don't know.
I'm serious. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, did you see how he's saying that working from home makes you lazy?
Yes, I did see that. This is...
Kevin looks visibly upset.
I mean, if you just say Elon Musk's name, that's how I react instantaneously. Yeah. Uh-huh. Even if he says the most obvious thing, like pizza is good, I'm going to be like,
you know what, man? Just go be rich somewhere.
I know. Just shut
up. Just go enjoy your life.
The rest of us have things to complain about. Just go have fun every day.
I feel like
build yourself a giant theme park.
He's like the first billionaire, like real billionaire. That I can think of who just like, I just want to be a grain of, I want to be a rock in your shoe. Like, that's what he wants to be. And I don't get it because he's living a great life. He can live a better one if he just goes away a bit, you know?
Yeah, but is he that much worse than Stan Kroenke, who is actually...
Oh, No.
But at least we don't have to look at Stan's face.
Not with that.
Not unless you're watching toupee. Napoleon Dynamite and you have a scene with Uncle Rico.
Oh, I bet he can throw a football over the mountains. We take
Kroenke
state.
Reminds me of Ronald McDonald without the makeup. I feel like if you... That's what I think of. Is that wrong?
No.
Yeah.
I do think we need to address this work from home thing.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We really
coming
do.
Up. It's the show. Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler, Amy Marks, of course, on KMOX. on the show on KMOX. Amy, Chris, and Kevin with you. You can reach out to us anytime you like. 314-436-7900. Text line is wide open. We'll mix you guys into the regular conversation. But you got to, you know, it's like a, if you don't do that, then we don't read your text. But if you put them in there, we're definitely going to bring them into the conversation as we go along. Again, 314-436-7900 is the number. You can also stream us live on Facebook.com/KMOX1120 right now. So you can see that apparently Ranji looks like a potato.
No. That's not what Amy said.
I thought she said that.
Well, she's been calling you a potato.
Yeah.
Her idea is, well, she's always got silly ideas.
I mean, I kind of do if I look at that video.
You don't look like a potato.
Well,
I got like a potato-shaped head.
We figured out a plan. If one of us happens to be gone, we can replace that person with a potato.
Okay. Wheeler took a photo of me the other day, and I look like I've eaten a house.
What?
Yeah, that photo you took. And you put it on social media, I look awful. And I felt so bad about myself. I haven't eaten since Tuesday.
You are such a liar.
So no, I'm serious. So listen. We were talking about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Or is it Elon? I think it's Elon.
It's not Elon.
Well, I don't know. Well, this man had sent out a memo to all of his employees, as we mentioned, and he said something to the effect of, if you want to stay home and pretend to work, go work for somebody else, right? People like working from home, generally speaking. And I feel like if you have a job that allows you to work from home and you can do it efficiently and you could still be productive, because a lot of people are. And there are a lot of managers. It's something like 32% of managers say that their employees have become more productive over the last year and a half or so because they've had the opportunity to work from home. If it is a job that you can do from home, why are we forcing people to come back into the office?
Well, I mean, I think this has to go by industry, business by business.
Right, if it's a job that you can do from home.
But there are jobs that you can do from home, but are they best done from home? Because you do miss some creativity, some collaboration. Their morale does play a role in any company, in any corporate culture, and you can just become more isolated. Also, different data has shown that people who work from home, maybe overall they're more productive, but they're less productive per hour, meaning they're not really, you're not clocking out. Your work-home-life balance has become blurred because some people are finding themselves working all day long over the course of 12 or 14 hours, and they're not really clocking out. And they found that that was more exhausting for people. I think it's employee by employee, business by business, industry by industry.
Sure. And you know, with Elon, I like to make fun of him, but I mean, it's his company. He can set the rules for working
there.
He can
do whatever he wants.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But when I think about the practical side of it, right, that is, for a lot of people, probably reducing the amount of time it takes you to get ready for work.
Yep.
10, 15, 20 minutes a day, depending on your routine.
Because
if you're
commute.
Your commute, you're taking, again, depending on where you are and all that, but a lot of people, you're probably saving an hour, hour and a half a day in the car.
Yeah.
Depending, again, it's a, you know, like I live, it takes me 35 minutes to get downtown. That would save me an hour and 10 minutes a day. That would be also potentially work hours as opposed to sitting in my car hours.
Yes.
Or even workout hours. Like exercise is so important to mental health, physical health.
Right.
The estimate nationally is that people are saving 40 minutes in commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Per day, which is, I mean, it's a significant amount of time.
So you start to add it up, you can save an hour, hour and a half in different ways. Because, I mean, look, think about it. You don't have to take a full hour for lunch. You don't have to go anywhere. It's there. Mm-hmm. You're at your house. You know, I mean, like, and I agree. It's clearly about the industry and the specific job. I think we all would have to agree with that. I mean, you can't. And if you're building things, you have to be there to build them. You know,
if your primary job is
making phone calls, why couldn't you make phone calls?
So, a perfect example of that, an argument for working from home. I have a friend who works at a large company. She's in marketing and sales, and all of her clients are all over the country. So she goes to her office to make phone calls all
day long. Which she could do from home.
But if she can work from home, she can help get the kids to school. I mean, she can bring them to school. There's just so much more flexibility. She said, I don't understand why it makes sense for me to go to an office where there are distractions from coworkers when all of my clients are across the country.
I also want to make an analogy. And because just because you're at work doesn't mean that you're goofing off less there than you would at home. There are a lot of people that are good at pretending to look like they're working when they're not.
I'm so good at it.
There are a lot of times you're just sitting there killing time or, you know, you're, I mean, like, I've had the office jobs. Usually it was like I was in college and I was a temp and I'd be done with my work with 2 hours left to go. And they don't want you to go home. They want you to stay there. So I'm just like, you pretend that you're doing mm-hmm. something. I mean, I don't get why that's better. And I do think a lot of people, it's just control, right? Like some people that are in various industries, some people that are some specific managers, they just feel like that's the only way you can have some control over what people are doing is to be able to kind of peek over their shoulder once in a while or have them right down the hallway. And I get that because, again, it depends on the job. It depends on the industry. But I do think that there's some of that, too, that higher ups like the idea of having some control.
Okay, looking at data, I'm going to pivot here.
Oh.
The new data out on alcohol and coffee. We talked about this before the show. I saw a research paper, a study that said people who drink coffee may be less likely to die. And I would say everything about that statement is entirely way too broad for science.
I don't know. That's why I'm on cup number three today.
There's so much that needs to go into this. You drink coffee and you're less likely to die. I'm guessing it's like the caffeine. But don't you think we get these studies every other day and it changes?
Yes.
What they say is good for you and what they say is
bad for you. How many times have you like, you know, a glass of red wine a day is good for your heart. And then the next study is, no, alcohol's poison. It's always bad. I just don't worry about it. Let's be honest. Like, okay, would it be nice to know that you could add a couple of years to the end of your life by doing certain things? Yes. And I could die in a car accident tomorrow.
Right.
I'm not going to sweat the maybes. I'm not going to sweat. And I'm not talking about like total lack of common sense, right? I'm not talking about throwing burgers down your gullet for every meal and, you know, drinking 12 beers every night. I'm not talking about being reckless. I'm just saying like these little things, we don't even know for sure that they make a huge difference.
Right.
And you don't know that you're going to wake up tomorrow. So maybe that's my overall philosophy. Like, you don't know you're going to wake up the next day. Maybe don't sweat wondering if maybe 50 years down the road you could add another 6 months.
There was a story on KMOX.com earlier in the mm-hmm. week that addressed the alcohol study that was done in Dublin. And it said that there should be obviously a more cautious approach to consuming alcohol. Don't drink. If you do drink, limit your weekly consumption to less than one bottle of wine or less than 3.5 500 mil cans of 4.5% beer.
Well, that's specific.
Okay? Yeah. It was a study analyzing 744 adults over 40 years old who are either at risk of developing heart failure or have pre-heart failure. 53% of the group were women. The average age was 66.5 years old. So I am the only person in this room mm-hmm. that drinks both. Like, Kevin doesn't have alcohol at all.
Yeah. That's not totally true.
You have very little.
It's rare. It's rare.
You're a big coffee person. You have a lot of coffee. Kevin drinks no coffee. Nope. He just has Diet Mountain Dew.
This is my honest to goodness take. We can do all these studies on, well, if you drink coffee or alcohol, do you live longer? I think mental health and being happy and content, that is so much more important that like if drinking a cup of coffee or having a glass of wine or going to the ball game and having a beer makes you feel happy or relaxed. Honest to goodness, I think that makes you happier or healthier.
I'd agree with that. Me. Yeah, there's a mental health component to it.
And I think but mental health, that affects your physical health. We always know that stress leads to headache and stomach issues. As not a doctor.
The study was over a 5.5 year period.
Yeah.
And it said participants in the pre-heart failure group that were either moderate or high intake drinkers had a 4.5-fold increased risk of worsening their heart health.
I know we're going, but here's the thing. Spurious what? Correlations. Check out the website. It's great.
That's a band, right?
Well, it's a website that looks at, you know, cause and correlation effect. The number of people who drowned by falling into a pool officially lines up with the number of films Nicolas Cage appears in any given year. When he's in more films, more people drown in a pool.
Kevin Wheeler.
Nice.
Amy Markscores.
Fabulous.
Chris Ronji.
Unbelievable.
On the show.
Welcome back into the show. Chris, Amy, Kevin, hanging out with you. Now, you guys, we're talking about, in relation to different things with your diet, food, drink, coffee, alcohol, stuff. Yeah. But and also the topic of whether or not you work from home or work back. Like, it's a lot of this stuff has to do with managing stress, right? Like, things that, cause, and they're not necessarily fear, but things that cause stress on a day-to-day basis. How do you manage it? Does coffee help you manage the stress of the morning? Right. Does alcohol in the evening help you manage the stress of the day? Like, all of this stuff is tied together, right? Right. And when we look at the next topic that we had planned, we didn't do this on purpose, but it all does kind of tie in, because when you look at the stresses of the world right now, you've got Russia in Ukraine and all that going on. You've got we're coming out of a shutdown for the pandemic, but we're still dealing with that every day. We're dealing with shooters seemingly on a weekly basis. Mm. Sometimes school, sometimes workplace, sometimes more random, but we're dealing with shootings all the time. And the impact that this stuff can have on kids is, sure, school things are scary for kids because, right, that's real to them. But all of this has to have an impact on them. And, I always say that, like, we as Gen Xers, especially, Ron, you were Gen X. Are you Gen X?
I'm millennial.
So you're borderline, really, because you're kind of right on the edge of both.
I think I'm like a middle-aged millennial, is what they call it.
Okay, so, but there wasn't a lot in our world at that time that would have been this to us. The only thing I was ever scared of as a kid. I was never scared about nuclear war. I was never scared about, even with some of the movies that came out, never worried me. It just didn't seem real. The only thing that was a scare for me and my friends when we were probably, let's say, grade school aged, was that at the time in the 80s, the child abduction was just a thing.
That was it.
It was nonstop. People were talking about it, reporting it. We had warnings about our neighborhood. I mentioned this on the Glover Show a couple.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well, everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back in on the show on KMOX, Amy, Chris, and Kevin with you. You can reach out to us anytime you like. 314-436-7900. Text line is wide open. We'll mix you guys into the regular conversation. But you got to, you know, it's like a, if you don't do that, then we don't read your text. But if you put them in there, we're definitely going to bring them into the conversation as we go along. Again, 314-436-7900 is the number. You can also stream us live on Facebook.com/KMOX1120 right now. So you can see that apparently Ranji looks like a potato.
No. That's not
what Amy said earlier.
Said.
No. I thought she said that.
Well, she's been calling you a potato.
Yeah,
Her idea is, well, she's always got silly ideas.
I mean, I kind of do if I look at that video.
You don't look like a potato.
Well,
I got like a potato-shaped head.
We figured out a plan. If one of us happens to be gone, we can replace that person with a potato.
Okay. Wheeler took a photo of me the other day, and I look like I've eaten a house.
What?
Yeah, that photo you took. And you put it on social media, I look awful. And I felt so bad about myself. I haven't eaten since Tuesday.
You are such a liar.
So, no, I'm serious. So, listen. We were talking about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Or is it Elon? I think it's Elon.
It's not Elon.
Well, I don't know. Well, this man had sent out a memo to all of his employees, as we mentioned, and he said something to the effect of, if you want to stay home and pretend to work, go work for somebody else, right? People like working from home, generally speaking. I feel like if you have a job that allows you to work from home and you can do it efficiently and you could still be productive, because a lot of people are, and there are a lot of managers, it's something like 32% of managers say that their employees have become more productive over the last year and a half or so because they've had the opportunity to work from home. If it is a job that you can do from home, why are we forcing people to come back into the office?
Well, I mean, I think this has to go by industry business by business.
Right, if it's a job that you can do from home.
But there are jobs that you can do from home, but are they best done from home? Because you do miss some creativity, some collaboration. Their morale does play a role in any company, in any corporate culture, and you can just become more isolated. Also, different data has shown that people who work from home, maybe overall they're more productive, but they're less productive per hour, meaning they're not really, you're not clocking out. Your work home life balance has become blurred, because some people are finding themselves working all day long over the course of 12 or 14 hours, and they're not really clocking out. And they found that that was more exhausting for people. I think it's employee by employee, business by business, industry by industry.
Sure. And you know, with Elon, I like to make fun of him, but I mean, it's his company. He can set the rules for working there.
He can do whatever he wants.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But when I think about the practical side of it, right, that is, for a lot of people, probably reducing the amount of time it takes you to get ready for work.
Yep.
10, 15, 20 minutes a day, depending on your routine.
Because if
you're
commute.
Your commute, you're taking, again, depending on where you are and all that, but a lot of people, you're probably saving an hour, hour and a half a day in the car.
Yeah.
Depending, again, it's a, you know, like I live, it takes me 35 minutes to get downtown. That would save me an hour and 10 minutes a day. That would be also potentially work hours as opposed to sitting in my car hours.
Yes.
Or even workout hours. Like exercise is so important to mental health, physical health.
Right.
The estimate nationally is that people are saving 40 minutes in commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Per day, which is, I mean, it's a significant amount of time.
So you start to add it up, you can save an hour, hour and a half in different ways. Because, I mean, look, think about it. You don't have to take a full hour for lunch. You don't have to go anywhere. It's there. You're at your house. You know, I mean, like, and I agree. It's clearly about the industry and the specific job. I think we all would have to agree with that. I mean, you can't. And if you're building things, you have to be there to build them. You know,
if your primary job is
making phone calls, why couldn't you make phone calls?
So a perfect example of that, an argument for working from home. I have a friend who works at a large company. She's in marketing, and sales, marketing and sales, and all of her clients are all over the country. So she goes to her office to make phone calls all
day long. Which she could do from home.
But if she can work from home, she can help get the kids to school. I mean, she can bring them to school. There's just so much more flexibility. She said, I don't understand why it makes sense for me to go to an office where there are distractions from coworkers when all of my clients are across the country.
I also want to make an analogy. Because just because you're at work doesn't mean that you're goofing off less there than you would at home. There are a lot of people that are good at pretending to look like they're working when they're not.
I'm so good at it.
There are a lot of times you're just sitting there killing time or, you know, I've had the office jobs. Usually it was like I was in college and I was a temp and I'd be done with my work with 2 hours left to go. And they don't want you to go home. They want you to stay there. So I'm just saying you pretend that you're doing something. I mean, I don't get why that's better. And I do think a lot of people, it's just control, right? Like some people that are in various industries, some people that are some specific managers, they just feel like that's the only way you can have some control over what people are doing is to be able to kind of peek over their shoulder once in a while or have them right down the hallway. And I get that because, again, it depends on the job. It depends on the industry. But I do think that there's some of that, too, that higher ups like the idea of having some control.
Okay, looking at data, I'm going to pivot here.
Oh.
The new data out on alcohol and coffee. We talked about this before the show. I saw a research paper, a study that said people who drink coffee may be less likely to die. And I would say everything about that statement is entirely way too broad for science.
I don't know. That's why I'm on cup number three today.
There's so much that needs to go into this. You drink coffee and you're less likely to die. I'm guessing it's like the caffeine. But don't you think we get these studies every other day and it changes?
Yes.
What they say is good for you and what they say is bad
for you. How many times have you a glass of red wine a day is good for your heart? And then the next study is, no, alcohol's poison. It's always bad. I just don't worry about it. Let's be honest. Like, okay, would it be nice to know that you could add a couple of years to the end of your life by doing certain things? Yes. And I could die in a car accident tomorrow.
Right.
I'm not going to sweat the maybes. I'm not going to sweat. And I'm not talking about like total lack of common sense, right? I'm not talking about throwing burgers down your gullet for every meal and, you know, drinking 12 beers every night. I'm not talking about being reckless. I'm just saying like these little things, we don't even know for sure that they make a huge difference.
Right.
And you don't know that you're going to wake up tomorrow. So maybe that's my overall philosophy. Like you don't know you're going to wake up the next day. Maybe don't sweat wondering if maybe 50 years down the road you could add another 6 months.
There was a story on KMOX.com earlier in the week that addressed the alcohol study that was done in Dublin. And it said that there should be obviously a more cautious approach to consuming alcohol. Don't drink. If you do drink, limit your weekly consumption to less than one bottle of wine or less than 3.5 500-mil cans of 4.5% beer.
Well, that's specific.
Okay? Yeah. It was a study analyzing 744 adults over 40 years old who are either at risk of developing heart failure or have pre-heart failure. 53% of the group were women. The average age was 66.5 years old. So I am the only person in this room that drinks both. Like, Kevin doesn't have alcohol at all.
Yeah. That's not totally true.
You have very little.
It's rare.
I have like, no. It's been...
It's rare.
You're a big coffee person. You have a lot of coffee. Kevin drinks no coffee. Nope. He just has Diet Mountain Dew.
Here's my... Okay, this is my honest-to-goodness take. We can do all these studies on, well, if you drink coffee or alcohol, do you live longer? I think mental health and being happy and content, that is so much more important that, like, if drinking a cup of coffee or having a glass of wine or going to the ballgame and having a beer makes you feel happy or relaxed, honest to goodness, I think that makes you happier or healthier.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, there's a mental health component to it.
And I think but mental health, that affects your physical health. We always know that stress leads to headache and stomach issues. As not a doctor.
The study was over a 5.5-year period.
Yeah.
And it said participants in the pre-heart failure group that were either moderate or high intake drinkers had a 4.5-fold increased risk of worsening their heart health.
I know we're going. But here's the thing. Spurious correlations. Check out the website. It's great.
That's a band, right?
Well, it's a website that looks at, you know, cause and correlation effect. The number of people who drowned by falling into a pool officially lines up with the number of films Nicolas Cage appears in any given year. When he's in more films, more people drown in a pool.
Kevin Wheeler.
Nice.
Amy Markscore.
Fabulous.
Chris Ronji.
Unbelievable.
On the show.
Welcome back into the show. Chris, Amy, Kevin, hanging out with you. Now, you guys, you know, we're talking about, it was in relation to different things with your diet, food, drink, coffee, alcohol, stuff. Yeah. But and also the topic of whether or not you work from home or work back. Like, it's a lot of this stuff has to do with managing stress, right? Like, things that, you know, cause, and they're not necessarily fear, but things that cause stress on a day-to-day basis. How do you manage it? Does coffee help you manage the stress of the morning? Right. Does alcohol in the evening help you manage the stress of the day? Like, all of this stuff is tied together, right? Right. And when we look at the next topic that we had planned, it does. We didn't do this on purpose, but it all does kind of tie in, because when you look at the stresses of the world right now, you've got Russia in Ukraine and all that going on. You've got we're coming out of what was a shutdown for the pandemic, but we're still dealing with that every day. We're dealing with shooters seemingly on a weekly basis. Mm. You know, sometimes school, sometimes workplace, sometimes more random, but we're dealing with shootings all the time. And the impact that this stuff can have on kids is, I mean, school things are scary for kids because, right, that's real to them. But all of this has to have an impact on them. And, you know, I always say that, like, we as Gen Xers, especially, you know, Ron, you were Gen X. Are you Gen X?
I'm millennial.
Or you're like, so you're the, okay. So you're borderline, really, because you're kind of right on the edge of both.
I think I'm like a middle-aged millennial, is what they call it.
Okay, so, but there wasn't a lot in our world at that time that would have been this to us. The only thing I was ever scared of as a kid, I was never scared about nuclear war. I was never scared about, even with some of the movies that came out, never worried me. It just didn't seem real. The only thing that was a scare for me and my friends when we were probably, let's say, grade school aged, was that at the time in the 80s, the child abduction was just a thing.
That was it.
It was nonstop. People were talking about it, reporting it. You know, we had warnings about our neighborhood. We actually, I mentioned this on the Glover Show a couple weeks ago. There, a guy tried to get me and a friend to get in his car with him.
Like, oh,
that,
wow.
That happened when I was like 10 or 11 years old. And we were like, no, and we booked it off on our bikes. You know, we just took off in the other direction. We actually called the police. The police car, police came over, took a description, did the whole thing. That was like the only thing that was any source of stress to me as a kid. It was that, and it was also very specific time frame, because a couple years later, I no longer cared about it. And I'm not sure if it's because I was older or whatever, but a couple years later, I didn't care about it. But that was the one thing.
It must be an age thing then, because that was exactly mine. Because in 1981, that's when Adam Walsh was abducted from the Sears. Yep. He was with, and his dad went on to host America's Most Wanted, John Walsh.
Yep.
But he was abducted from a Sears. They left him at like an Atari display, a video game display, or a kiosk, and he was playing. And he was abducted, he was strangled, he was beheaded, and that was part of the thing that was really frightening. And because you thought then, oh my God, this is happening to kids everywhere. And I think I was like 5 years old, 4 years old when that happened.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
Parents were terrified.
I'm about that much older than you, so yeah, that's about
so
right.
So I remember being at, this is crazy, I remember being at the, it was called the VP Fair at the time, you know, Fair St. Louis, and they had a booth where you could get your fingerprints done for kids.
Oh, wow.
In case you were abducted and they could find you later on.
Wow.
I remember doing that at the fair.
That's just not...
I know, it's just a really weird thing, but I was very young when that happened. And I guess they just wanted to put you in the database in case you were abducted down the road. Yeah, it was very, very crazy.
It was really a thing, though, for a lot of the 80s. Like, it was a big story.
I think so. I was born in 83. So after that, and I was not afraid of abductions. What's interesting is, for me, I remember my first newsy memory, like newsy that I remember watching on TV, was the Gulf War. because you watched it on television, I think for the first time in history, watching war.
Live in but real time, yeah.
But it didn't, I was in kindergarten and it didn't, or first grade, and I wasn't scared by it. This is going to sound random, but the first thing that truly scared me, and I think it's because I played tennis with my grandparents, but I was 8 years old when Monica Seles was stabbed in tennis tournament on the court. And I remember seeing that news headline, and my parents were out of town, and I was with my grandparents, and we were playing tennis the next day, and I had the like intellectual capability to understand what it meant to be stabbed during a tournament, but I didn't have the emotional maturity to handle that information. So I felt like it was a free for all. Like, you shouldn't play tennis. It's not a safe sport anymore. The second, I think, watershed as far as feeling scared by what I saw, I had just turned 18 when September 11th happened. And I had been kind of lulled to this security of, you know, living in the United States. And September 11th scared me and made it feel like we were suddenly much more vulnerable than I thought we were.
Interesting. I mean, it was a horrible event. It didn't have that impact, but I was also 30 then. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't 18 where,
like,
you would be a little bit more impressionable.
I just graduated from high school. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're an adult, but you still, I don't know, kind of have that invincibility of a kid.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, I really do think that that 80s scare, Ranj, changed every generation that followed, because we as parents are a lot more protective than our parents.
Yes.
Like, you would leave your kid at Sears at the Atari thing. I used to be gone all day, every day. My parents had no idea where I was. My entire childhood in the summer, I was gone. And you would never have known, maybe even for 8 hours, that I was actually gone if I had been taken.
I was a little, because I'm a little younger than you, I was a little less allowed to do those sorts of things.
Kevin Wheeler.
Nice.
Amy Markscord.
Fabulous.
Chris Ranji.
Unbelievable.
On the show.
Welcome back into the show. Chris, Amy, Kevin, hanging out with you. Now, you guys, you know, we're talking about, it was in relation to different things with your diet, food, drink, coffee, alcohol, stuff. Yeah. But and also the topic of whether or not you work from home or work back. Like, it's a lot of this stuff has to do with managing stress, right? Like, things that, you know, cause, and they're not necessarily fear, but things that cause stress on a day-to-day basis. How do you manage it? Does coffee help you manage the stress of the morning?
Right.
Does alcohol in the evening help you manage the stress of the day? Like, all of this stuff is tied together, right?
Right.
And when we look at the next topic that we had planned, it does, we didn't do this on purpose, but it all does kind of tie in, because when you look at the stresses of the world right now, you've got Russia in Ukraine and all that going on. You've got, we're coming out of the what was a shutdown for the pandemic, but we're still dealing with that every day. We're dealing with shooters seemingly on a weekly basis. You know, sometimes school, sometimes workplace, sometimes more random, but we're dealing with shootings all the time. And the impact that this stuff can have on kids is, I mean, school things are scary for kids because, right, that's real to them. But all of this has to have an impact on them. And, you know, I always say that, like, we as Gen Xers, especially, you know, Ranj, we're Gen X. Are you Gen X?
I'm millennial.
Or you're like, so you're the, okay. So you're borderline, really, because you're kind of right on the edge of both.
I think I'm like a middle-aged millennial, is what they call it.
Okay, so, but there wasn't a lot in our world at that time that would have been this to us. We, you know, the big, like, for me, for example, the only thing I was ever scared of as a kid, I was never scared about nuclear war. I was never scared about, even with some of the movies that came out, it never worried me. It just didn't seem real. The only thing that was a scare for me and my friends when we were probably, let's say, grade school aged, was that at the time in the 80s, the child abduction was just a thing.
That was it.
It was nonstop. People were talking about it, reporting it. You know, we had warnings about our neighborhood. We actually, I mentioned this on the Glover Show a couple weeks ago. There, a guy tried to get me and a friend to get in his car with him.
Like, oh,
that,
wow.
That happened when I was like 10 or 11 years old, and we were like, no, and we booked it off on our bikes. You know, we just took off in the other direction. We actually called the police. The police car, police came over, took a description, did the whole thing. That was like the only thing that was was any source of stress to me as a kid. It was that, and it was also very specific time frame, because a couple years later, I no longer cared about it. And I'm not sure if it's because I was older or whatever, but a couple years later, I didn't care about it. But that was the one thing.
It must be an age thing then, because that was exactly mine. Because in 1981, that's when Adam Walsh was abducted from the Sears. Yep. He was with, and his dad went on to host America's Most Wanted, John Walsh.
Yep.
But he was abducted from a Sears. They left him at like an Atari display, a video game display, or a kiosk. And he was playing, and he was abducted. He was strangled. He was beheaded. And that was part of the thing that was really frightening. And because you thought then, oh, my God, this is happening to kids everywhere. And I think I was like 5 years old, 4 years old when that happened.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Parents
were terrified.
I'm about that much older than you. So, yeah, that's about right.
So I remember being at, this is crazy. I remember being at the, it was called the VP Fair at the time, you know, Fair St. Louis. And they had a booth where you could get your fingerprints done for kids.
Oh, wow.
In case you were abducted and they could find you later on.
Wow.
I remember doing that at the fair. I know, it's just a really weird thing, but I was very young when that happened. And I guess they just wanted to put you in the database in case you were abducted down the road. Yeah, it was very, very crazy.
It was really a thing, though, for a lot of the 80s. Like, it was a big story.
I think so. I was born in 83. So after that, and I was not afraid of abductions. What's interesting is for me, I remember my first newsy memory, like newsy that I remember watching on TV, was the Gulf War. Because you watched it on television, I think, for the first time in history, watching war.
Live in real time, yeah.
But it didn't, I was in kindergarten, and it didn't, or first grade, and I wasn't scared by it. This is going to sound random, but the first thing that truly scared me, and I think it's because I played tennis with my grandparents, but I was 8 years old when Monica Seles was stabbed in tennis tournament on the court. And I remember seeing that news headline, and my parents were out of town, and I was with my grandparents, and we were playing tennis the next day, and I had the like intellectual capability to understand what it meant to be stabbed during a tournament, but I didn't have the emotional maturity to handle that information. So I felt like it was a free for all. Like, you shouldn't play tennis. It's not a safe sport anymore. The second, I think, watershed as far as feeling scared by what I saw, I had just turned 18 when September 11th happened. And I had been kind of lulled to this security of, you know, living in the United States. And September 11th scared me and made it feel like we were suddenly much more vulnerable than I thought we were.
Interesting. I mean, it was a horrible event. It didn't have that impact, but I was also 30 then. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't 18 where,
like,
you would be a little bit more
impressionable. Just graduated from high school. You know what I mean? So you're an adult, but you still, I don't know, kind of have that invincibility of a kid.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, I really do think that 80s scare, Ronj, changed every generation that followed, because we as parents are a lot more protective than our parents.
Yes.
Like, you would leave your kid at Sears at the Atari thing. I used to be gone all day every day. My parents had no idea where I was. My entire childhood in the summer, I was gone. And you would never have known, maybe even for 8 hours, that I was actually gone if I had been taken.
I was a little, because I'm a little younger than you, I was a little less allowed to do those sorts of things.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.